on that
we
part.
We are live. We are the American Adversaries Radio Show. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We have dispensed with the normal way we do things around here tonight, as you may have already figured out. So let me just kind of go around and explain what's going on. Once again, we are the American Adversaries Radio Show, live on AM 660 The Answer and FM 105.5. Of course, AM660TheAnswer.com and your smart devices, and you can still download the free Answer Orlando app. Alexa devices, and momentarily I'll get us up and flying on the Titan Cave Cam, although I have not been able to do that yet. Okay, we've been in the process of sort of figuring out how we're going to do the show tonight, because we've got network coverage going on of the hearings. And as you might have heard, they just coincidentally...
I know, right when we wanted them to.
Right, they went to a break.
That's
this
nice.
Is when we would normally start the show. But as I said, we have dispensed with the intro tonight, and we'll see how it works out with the commercials, because when they do go back to the hearing, we're going to go back to it live. Now, here's the plan. As the hearing is going on live, we will sort of cut in periodically, give you some thoughts, remind you that we're here. We intend to be here live after it's over to recap the whole day's activities, and it's been quite a day. All right, first let me go around and introduce everyone. By the way, the contest tonight, we're going to postpone that. Obviously, it wouldn't be fair.
So no one's going to win a car tonight.
Nobody. Yes. Yeah, that's too bad.
I knew that.
Today was the day.
You had to park outside.
And we have to return it to the dealership tomorrow. So
right.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, if we did give it away tonight, we had to give it back.
Remember, we had 24 hours.
Oh, shucks. All right, so we're going to put off all of that stuff tonight, and we're going to focus exclusively on what's going on today, because, ladies and gentlemen, this is a monumental day in American history, because there's in essence, a history lesson going on here today about why we are the United States and what separates us from all the other countries. So once again, let me go around the room and introduce the folks who are here today, who we normally would be judging the contest. Of course, the chairman of the board, the union boss himself, and that would be Michael McBath.
Chris, I learned one thing just observing today. We need term limits.
I was thinking the same thing. also, we have Rick Brown from Tijuana Flats, of course, and he's here observing along with us.
And if I wasn't a conservative yesterday, I sure am today. You know, it struck me that that senator said, I've been on this committee for 45 years, like it was a badge of honor.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. See, no, we all went like this. Oh, 45 years.
Yeah. And also with us tonight is Ed Reardon. Now, Ed Reardon's been on the show a number of times before. If you know, Ed is, of course, one of the board members of Honor Flight, and they got a big flight going out Saturday, right, Ed?
That's right. Saturday we take off pretty early out of OIA and returning back in 9:30 p.m. looking for folks to come on down and greet our flight.
Now, that's 9:30 p.m. at Orlando International. Which gate?
We'll be in Terminal A, Southwest Airlines, right by Starbucks. We got 50 veterans traveling with us. We're so excited about that. 12 of them World War II, 19 Korea, 19 Vietnam, 2 of them women who served as nurses in Vietnam, 1 who served with the Tuskegee Airmen.
All right.
Wow.
That's awesome.
You deserve congratulations on that.
And we're honored to help out Honor Flight as much as we can around here. I am, of course, the philosopher, political mad scientist, Christopher Hart. And with us tonight, we have the president of a brand new football team coming to Orlando. You want to introduce him,
yes,
Mike?
Yes, I do.
Since his name is Mike, too?
His name is Mike. Mike Waddell. Mike will be the president of the Apollos. And
Orlando Apollos.
And that's what's great about it. I think, Mike, there, which you'll go a little bit into it, there'll be about 8 teams throughout the nation. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
And they're going to be playing, and I'm going to emphasize the word, professional football. It's going to open up, I think, right after the Super Bowl.
1 week after the Super Bowl, right?
1 week after the Super Bowl, and Steve Spurrier, who we all know,
the
head ball coach, will be the head coach. And
I
know
the head coach.
Mike's out here, like when we did with the Predators, he's out here looking for people to buy tickets. I encourage you, buy them now while the ticket prices are cheap, because as the desire and demand goes up, prices can rise, right, Mike?
That's exactly
so
right.
It's going to be a wonderful period in this. And how many games? 10 games?
We play 5 home, 5 away, then 2 playoff games, and we bring the championship back here the first week in May.
That'd be awesome.
Boy, we'll have a nice celebration right here.
We'll have a big parade right here, here with the adversaries.
The Apollos out of this world.
Yeah, we want to be a part of this because we're titans of talk radio.
That's right. Apollo I'll fit was, in perfect.
Apollo was one of the titans.
Right from the god. A&A right there. Adversaries
yeah,
and Apollos.
From the gods.
And and you can see in the logo, you mm-hmm. have Apollo like shooting his arrow.
That's right. Yeah, he got awesome. The golden arrows from Zeus.
That's exactly right.
So and your hats are terrific.
They're going to be tossing some of those arrows down the field.
Yep.
All right. So you know, normally, of course, we would be welcoming Mike to help us judge a contest. But as it is, the hearings have gone on now. And once again, they are in recess. And when they do go back to the hearings, we're going to go back to them and catch them live. Once again, we'll sort of cut in as the hearing goes on until it's either over or they have another break, and we'll do this again. As I said, this is a monumental day in American history. But we're also seeing how jurisprudence doesn't play out. How did Lindsey Graham put it when he had his little exchange? It wasn't an exchange with Kavanaugh, but he was going off.
Sort of a lecture to the whole group of Democrats.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If you came here looking for a fair hearing, you came to the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah.
And, of course, this is, you know, a political endeavor at the end of the day. In all seriousness, this is a political endeavor. And, however, it is an endeavor that affects these people's lives in a very profound way, as we saw in the opening statement. That was some opening statement by Kavanaugh.
On that opening statement, honestly, I thought it was probably the second best speech I've ever heard. I mean, it got you fired up. You understood where the guy was coming from. He had the right amount of emotion in it. He certainly provided the facts that overcame her facts, and his delivery was outstanding. But, I mean, to see what they did to him, there was women crying literally in the audience there. I mean, he touched on everything, but you could see this was true passion.
Right.
That little mouse woman who was up there with her little squeaky voice, which I'm trying to figure out, Chris, maybe you can explain it for me. How could she get a PhD teaching classes where you have 300-400 people and be middle-less squeaky? You know, hello, I'll tell you this. Come on.
She did a great impersonation of a 12-year-old.
Didn't
right?
She
ended every statement she made by inflecting her voice higher like some valley girl. It was just ridiculous.
Look, in a way, you know, as Kavanaugh said, his 10-year-old girl, I think she put it all right. And I kind of went into this a little bit last week. I do believe this woman has some issues. She's got some serious issues. And you know, it's one thing to sort of mock her story, but I don't think that she's got it all going on. And she did act ditzy. She acted like a ditzy blonde. And I'm not saying this about blondes. I'm just saying,
oh,
you know.
Watch your step there.
Yeah,
me
you know,
too.
Didn't know the definition of exculpatory.
Yeah.
And she's got a PhD.
Right.
It doesn't say much about PhDs from USC, does it? And she just acted a little goofy. But it was in an attempt to be, in her own way, genuine and sympathetic. The problem with her is she's a professor. And they don't really know how to be genuine.
And a psychology professor.
Right, exactly.
And who knows
problem.
How to
and
pull the strings.
She started to talk about the hippopotamus and all this other stuff.
Right.
And I'm going,
Yeah, hello, this isn't a class you're teaching. This is real. You're influencing the lives of many people.
Now, having said that, if you were to listen to any of the networks, and I mean all of them, oh, she's so credible.
Oh, I know. I couldn't even believe that when I heard that.
I think it was because the prosecutor that was hired by the Republicans treated her gently, I think would be the way to describe it. And it's appropriate in a situation like this when a woman is saying these things, anybody claiming to have been mm-hmm. assaulted, that you want to at least make them comfortable and feel like that you really want to know what they have to say. And she did that. However, in her gentle sort of way, in subtle way, maybe too subtle in some cases, she pointed out a lot of, you know, inconsistencies. She pointed out how the Democrats guided her to this particular lawyer, Katz.
Right.
Who, by the way, her and the other lawyer stepped up and said, oh, we're doing this pro bono.
Right, paid for the polygraph?
What they were meant to say, mm-hmm. or what they should have said if they wanted to be more accurate, is that Ms. Ford is not paying us, but we are getting paid by an organization that is funded largely by George Soros, because that's who hires Katz. And Katz, by the way, represented the gang rape accuser in a sexual harassment case herself.
Right.
So this Ms. Katz has got her fingerprints all over this and her connection. However, as I said, it was done so subtly, I think it went over most people's heads. They also got her to change her story in several instances from what she originally had claimed. Not big changes, subtle changes. And unfortunately, I don't think the prosecutor went down the road enough of how did you get to the party, how did you get home, because she did point out on a map that it was quite a long distance.
Right. Who brought you to the party? Did you just, how'd you get there?
Right.
Uber wasn't around then.
Right. And why didn't you grab your girlfriend by the arm and yank her out the door, too, instead of leaving her there to the predators?
Mm-hmm.
No pun.
Cute. You know, well, we're talking football tonight with the Apollos, you know. So.
No
what
offense.
Do you mean, leave it to the Predators?
No
that
offense.
Really puts a bad omen on
no
us.
No offense. But in a way, what we saw this morning was a lesson in why Democrats win elections, because it was all about emotion and the, you know.
Lie, stay together, run down the same field together.
And create the emotional outpouring.
Right.
The problem was, there's a lot more emotion outpouring in the afternoon session with Kavanaugh than what happened this morning with the accuser.
Yeah, the media thought the emotion this morning was outstanding
until he came.
He walked out there, and I'm telling you, he got me choked up. I mean, I'm watching this, and I'm thinking of his family and everything. And
as I said, she's been presented as a strong, smart woman. And, of course, this morning, every senator went out of their way to thank her for her bravery. And yet she was ditzy.
Yeah.
If that's a strong, smart woman.
And that's what I'm saying. She looks so flaky, just such a mealy-mouthed little thing. And you're a professor. Right. When you speak in front of 300-400 people, you must be a terrific speaker.
Oh boy. So, nonetheless, we didn't find out anything that would bolster her story. Finally, at the end of the questioning by the prosecutor, once again, who was hired by the Republicans, who's, by the way, also questioning Kavanaugh. And once again, as soon as they go back to the hearing, we're going to go back to it live. They finally challenged her on the other witnesses who weren't there and who said they weren't there and had no idea what she was talking about. And she kind of, what's that?
She kind of blew that off.
Yeah, more or less she did. And she said, well, of course, Mark Judge would deny it. And if you're guilty, you would deny it.
Chris,
others, her friend.
Right.
And once again, I don't understand why the prosecutor didn't ask her, if this had just happened to you and you were that scared, why did you leave your friend there? And there was another question that I wish somebody would have asked her. From the FBI, over all of these years, ever talk to you doing a background check on Kavanaugh? Or did you hear it from any of your friends if such a thing had happened? Because they have conducted 6 background checks, and this is the very thing they look for, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, she says she told 2 of her friends after it happened, right? Remember that?
No, she said that was much later. Much later when she told
And neither one of those came forward?
No.
And the person that drove her home
she did have affidavits from people who said that she had told her about this 30 years plus later.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and the Democrats went to some lengths to point out that, people in these cases, your memory's foggy and that sort of thing. But there are certain details that you would think that would go beyond just what happened in that bedroom.
Well, like the second accuser, I'm sure 6 days with an attorney will sharpen your memory.
Well, and, in this lady's case, it didn't do a whole lot of good.
Chris, and they also, the Democrats would come out again with the standard fare, on women's rights and the way women should be treated and all. I mean, the ad was on the whole time.
Well, here's the problem and this is something that we started talking about. Actually, you brought it up the other night, Mike, that this may turn around and be something that is not very good for the so-called Me Too movement. Something that is...
I think it's going to be devastating to the movement, because I think people who are sincere about it and who know the true meaning... And
as you said, they're getting ready to reconvene, so we're getting ready to go back. Get ready in there, Jeff. I'll give you the word here in just a second, please. I lost my train of thought. So I tell you what, let's go ahead and are they live? Are they speaking? No, they're not quite live back yet. Okay, so they're still in recess. I don't see Grassley there. As soon as he comes back and gavels it back to session, we'll go back there.
Well, Feinstein's sleeping in her chair.
But once again, at the end of the day, though, this is all about the politics of it. And that's why I think, my thought, the Me Too movement is that, as you said, and I don't think you said it on the air yet, that when Kavanaugh was giving his opening statement, now, I know behind them are their own supporters. She had her supporters behind her this morning, but they sat there pretty much deadpanned, emotionless during her quote-unquote emotional testimony. What happened to the people behind Kavanaugh when he gave his statement,
Mike? Extremely emotional. Crying. I mean, I just couldn't believe the emotional outlet. And like you said, reflecting on this wonderful lady. I mean, I think when you know that you're, and I know this doesn't sound good, but when you know that you're lying and you know you're a scoundrel, you just got to really sit there with your head bowed and show no emotion. It's embarrassing. And these congressmen, they know that this whole thing is a sham.
Kavanaugh struck just the right tone.
Yep, boy, he hit it right.
In his speech.
I think he struck the tone of it that sounded like an innocent man.
he was emotional.
Protesting his innocence.
And he was indignant, and he had every right to be.
Absolutely. And you just had to feel for the guy. So Kavanaugh has, so far, upped them at their own game in turning a so-called fact-finding thing into an emotional contest. And that's where the Democrats normally win these things. And it was looking pretty good for them until Kavanaugh
Kavanaugh stepped up to the bat. And I mean, he just came out powerful. I had to love it. You know, just like a coach, right, Mike?
Yep.
And
yep.
In case you didn't hear it, we will be, linking to this, obviously, on our Facebook page. And Matt Buff is all over this stuff. And
Flaco just walked by?
Yeah.
The Flake Man, he probably did a little bit of crack, and then he's back out on
the easy does it on him now. Mm-hmm. All right, anyway, the senators are beginning to reenter the room now. And once again, in just a few moments, we will be going back to live coverage of today's hearing as Kavanaugh is having his say. And it's maybe about halfway through his questioning here. He's had his opening statement. It's quite lengthy. He, by the way, called out a number of Democratic senators on the very panel who's questioning him tonight about things they've already said about him in the media and related it to what distress and heartache it's been causing he and his family.
There's very few avenues left for them to go down because, what are they going to talk about? How many beers you drank, what your yearbook said, and the FBI. I don't know where else you're going to go because they have no facts.
Well, I anticipate some more fireworks, however, between Kavanaugh and the Democrats as they try to regain the emotional high ground in all of this. However, the most emotion we've seen, I believe, all today, other than Kavanaugh, as he was reading his opening statement, was shortly a while ago from Lindsey Graham.
Boy, was he fired up, Chris.
He was.
Did you see him virtually pointing and yelling? That's great. I love it.
But this is a lesson. This is a civics lesson this whole day, ladies and gentlemen. And I kind of like the way the Republicans are doing it tonight. Because they are letting the prosecutor question Kavanaugh, but they're also stepping in and making strong statements that go to the heart of the foundation of this nation and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and why we have the Bill of Rights. Now, they're not singling out the Bill of Rights like I am, but this is they're talking in big philosophical terms. And the Democrats are over there looking like the very people that we founded this country against. People who assume people are guilty just because somebody stands up and says it without any proof, and then has the audacity to put the burden of proof on the accuser. I mean, I'm sorry, on the accused.
No, I think the Republican Party has done had a wonderful day.
All right, as I said, we're getting ready to go back. Kavanaugh has now reseated himself. And as soon as we see Grassley take them back into session, we will go back live to the Kavanaugh hearing tonight. We have postponed the American Adversaries contest tonight, but we're just having to deal with this and the network coverage, and everybody needs to hear this because, as I said, this is a lesson in civics, ladies and gentlemen. This is the kind of thing that we talk about in one form or another around here every night. We see it playing out in live time here tonight. And in a way, it does have an air of soap opera to it, an air of professional wrestling to it, and, of course, a whole lot of politics to it. All right, Kavanaugh is beginning to talk again, so let's go back now, Jeff, live to the hearing.
Yes.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening. All right, we're live, guys. You are listening to the Kavanaugh hearings, And most of these hearings up until today have been crapo, so it's only appropriate that Senator Crapo is questioning.
Now, he's a Republican, though, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Oh, that's wrong name for a Republican.
Let me explain what's going on here tonight. It mostly is obvious. And, yes, you are still hearing the hearings live under us here, and we'll continue to let that play. In case there are more fireworks, we're going to go directly back to the hearings. In a few minutes, we're going to go directly back to the hearings anyway. But I just wanted to get, once again, tell you what's going on and reintroduce the folks in the studio. You are listening to the American Adversaries, Kavanaugh-Ford hearing day. And the live network coverage is going on, as I said. And when it does wrap up, though, we'll be here live to wrap things up for you. We may even stay a little bit over tonight till about 7:30 in order to wrap up the day's events. Judge Kavanaugh is about, I guess, a little bit over halfway through his question-answer period. It's, in essence, 55 minutes for Republicans to question him, 50 minutes for the Democrats to question him, and they've gone, I guess, not quite halfway through each of allotted time. So it's still going to go on for a while, but once again, we're still going to be here. We'll do some cut-ins like we're doing now. So once again, we're the American Adversaries live in the Relax and Comfort Studios. We have postponed, obviously, tonight's contest. We'll make it up to you next week when we have postponed and we've done away with the intros and commercial breaks as well. So I am Christopher Hart. In the studio, of course, is Mike McBath. We also have Rick Brown in the studio. Ed Reardon is here tonight. Ed Reardon, of course, with Honor Flight. They've got a flight going on this weekend. We are going to get into the details of that again here in just a moment because it's always a special event. And did I hear you say a little while ago one of the Tuskegee Airmen is going to be on that flight, Ed Reardon?
He was on the that detail. He worked with that unit in addition to working with the Flying Tigers and Merrill's Marauders. He was a diesel mechanic for airplanes in the U.S. Army Air Corps at the time.
And he's just one of the heroes that's going to be on the flight this weekend. And we would love you to come out and welcome that flight back. That's going to be at the Orlando International Airport, 9:30. Terminal A, Southwest Airlines, right there by the Starbucks. Nice place that they do a nice little welcome there. We also are welcoming tonight to our show. It's, inauspicious. Is that the right word to use here? Time for Mike Waddell to be on the show. He was going to be a good sport and help us judge our contest. And you're going to hear a lot about Mike Waddell because you're going to hear a lot about the Orlando Predators, the professional football team.
Wait, Apollos.
What did I say?
Apollos, and I appreciate it, but they
did
are
I
the
say Predators?
Yeah, I was going to say, Chris, you need a little bit more sleep, buddy.
Apollos. Orlando Apollos.
The team is out of this world.
I just want to win as much as the Predators did.
If we get that going,
we'll be doing very well.
Well, you're in a good company then, of course.
A couple of questions for Mike.
Mike Waddell, president. Real quickly, though, before we can people get tickets already?
Absolutely. In fact, Ed just bought some tickets right here. We're taking deposits right now. You can reserve up to 4 tickets for only $50, and you can do that at OrlandoApollos.com. Head ball coach Steve Spurrier is our guy that will be drawing up the plays in the dirt. And, you know, we don't allow you to kick extra points. You have to go for 2.
Excellent.
And so many other things.
No ties, no cupcakes.
Coach has already said he's got about 50 new plays that he has in that magic playbook. So the fun and gun, little bandit ball, little Apollo's golden arrows getting ready to come out from the head ball coach. We're going to have a lot of fun, and it starts February 9th in the Alliance of American Football and the aforementioned future champions of the Alliance, the Orlando Apollos.
And by the way, they've already begun to put the team together, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Got about 80 guys right now. We'll go to training camp in January. All 8 teams in the Alliance in the East, Atlanta, Birmingham, Memphis, and Orlando, and then in the West, Phoenix, San Diego, Salt Lake, and San Antonio. And we'll all go to San Antonio to the Alamo Dome, have 8 teams going at it for a month. So none of the bad preseason games. We'll have it all there under closed doors. Everybody gets all the bad out. We cut down the rosters and then open it up a week after the Super Bowl on CBS.
Another question, Mike.
On CBS TV.
Yeah, absolutely.
CBS, you talk about a nice contract. Any kneeling going on, Mike, in the league?
You know, one of the things that we're really excited about is that our players will actually be able to earn more money by being active in their community and being active on social media. Right. You know, being out making a difference right there, and that's something that we're really excited about in our Alliance of American Football and giving these kids a chance to continue on in their career.
What type of salaries?
Hold on, just a second. Timing is everything in life, and in fact, the hearing has now gone to another recess. Okay, so the hearing has recessed. It looks like it's going to be a brief recess. It looks like only Kavanaugh left the room. Perhaps he has to take a restroom break. Anyway, when we do go back live, at some point we'll rejoin the hearings live. But you are listening to the American Adversaries live, and once again, we're in the Relax and Comfort studios, and we're monitoring what's going on. Rick Brown.
Hey, Mike, has the season been announced yet?
We'll have our schedule. We'll come out here in a couple of weeks. Still working through the details on that, but we'll play our Eastern Conference foes, Atlanta, Birmingham, and Memphis, twice, home and home, mm-hmm. and then we'll play each of the four teams from the West one time for a total of 10 regular season games.
And
the top two teams in the East, the top two teams in the West, they play in the conference championship games, and then it's on to our championship game, and they're going to announce very soon the neutral site where we're going to have that. But, you know, it'll be a lot like Orlando because it was 102 degrees driving in here. Yeah. I mean, it's hot. Is it always hot? I mean, this is a month and 3 days for me in Orlando.
Well, but it's fall.
Yeah. I'm going to fall out.
Yeah, I mean, this is
hotter than I moved here from. I've been in Chicago and in Richmond, Virginia the last 4 years. I tell you one thing, this is a new definition of hot.
And it's been brutal this year. So you're thinking about five home games?
Five home games, then we'll, of course, probably, because we'll be undefeated, we'll be then hosting the Eastern Conference Championship. Then go 12-0. Well, we're not, by contract, when we play at UCF at Spectrum Stadium, we're not contractually allowed to lose. Because they won all their games last year, they won all their games this year. We got to keep it going.
That's right.
We got to go. Danny White, the AD at UCF, has been great to us, and we look forward to continuing on that winning with Coach Heupel right now.
But we're looking forward to an exciting season.
Thank you.
They don't want you to jinx the field over there.
Yeah, now, Mike, are you going to have cheerleaders, the most important part of the team?
You know, we're looking at all those things right now. I'm looking to select NFL alumni and pro football, mega, you know, businessmen.
You want them to wear cheerleaders?
To be in charge of such a thing. So we might have a job for you, Mike.
But you know, Rick,
I like that. Rick, I'll be your assistant.
Yeah, Rick's stores are right out near
scout.
UCF. You know what I mean? What do you have, Rick? Four restaurants right out there.
Yeah, I'm looking to it. Tijuana?
Tijuana Flats.
That's exactly. I want to make sure you got that in there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Four locations to serve you right there.
That's absolutely.
Now, do you serve Dos Equis there?
I'm sorry?
Do you serve Dos Equis?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, you know, that's Coach Spurrier's new endorsement right there. He's the head beer coach now.
And we have the Amber as well.
How about
well, there
that?
You go.
On tap.
Head beer coach. It's Dos Equis time.
You know what? You're right. I think I saw that ad on TV for the first
it is.
Time.
Yeah. He has a bottle opener on his visor
Mike,
now.
If somebody wants to contact you, have some of you guys come out, maybe speak to a group, or maybe they want to be a sponsor a team or something like that, how do they do that?
Well, you can go to OrlandoApollos.com. That's our website. And then you can also follow me on Twitter and then just get in touch with me there.
That's at Mike Waddell.
At Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, Waddell, W-A-D-D-E-L-L, _. And then get in touch with me, and I'd love to have you on the follow. And we do a lot to really celebrate this town. We're excited about it. We're leading right now the Alliance of American Football in social media following and also in terms of tickets sold and groups sold.
Okay, one other quick question, Mike, is we were out at the land the other day, and we spoke to the quarterback club. How did that go?
Well, I tell you what thing.
It was going fine until you stood up and started.
No, here's the thing. I know what it's like to feel like I'm Gary U.S. Bonds. You remember him back in the day?
Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
Because he opened up sometimes for the Beatles. So I'm like Gary U.S. Bonds at Shea Stadium, and then Mike McBath, the Beatle over here, comes out. And he says, okay, you can go. We're only going to talk for like 4 minutes. So I talked for like a minute and a half, was going to seat him 2.5, and then he goes, he has the place rolling right there.
Yeah.
This is the best public speaker in Orlando right here, the king of the 407.
All right.
He gets it going.
All right, once again, we're keeping an eye on the hearing. They are in a break right now. Once again, it's been a powerful day all the way around, I think. A little something today for everybody. But in particular, it's been a lesson in civics and why we have the form of government that we have, so that a person who is accused of a crime can address the accusations, and that a person who feels like a crime has been committed against them, that they can have in their way a hearing of those allegations. And it's also a lesson in civics in the sense that the Republicans are scoring philosophical points this evening, and Judge Kavanaugh scored some very powerful emotional points, especially in his opening statement when he refuted in a lengthy statement the charges and recounted what he's been going through and his family's been going through, and he never once spoke disparagingly or questioned the veracity of Ms. Ford, just said it wasn't me who did that. And is the Republicans, as I said, are making some pretty powerful philosophical statements. Lindsey Graham especially went off on how lousy this process has been, how the Democrats have drawn this out. They could have done all the things that they're demanding to be done now 45 days ago, and they chose not to do so. And so at the end of the day, if this is a wash, Kavanaugh goes to the Supreme Court.
Chris, don't you think there's going to be
if he comes out stronger, obviously he's going to the Supreme Court.
Don't you think there's going to be a lot of hard feelings? I love the Blumenthal reaction, you know, with Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh virtually didn't take any BS from Blumenthal and sort of beat his argument into the ground. And it was just great seeing that guy put on his back.
I'm going to go ahead and make the prediction that Judge Kavanaugh is going to come out of this okay. And this is not to say that she was lying. I think the woman is got some serious mental issues, and so it was never really though today about her. Okay, she had already made her statement. It was she delivered it. And we'll obviously be talking about how she delivered it over the next few weeks, days anyway. But it always really was about him and how he was going to respond to these charges. And he has responded very powerfully. Before we go back, and they're getting ready to reconvene the hearing. As a matter of fact, they are doing it with Mazie Hirono.
That's crazy Mazie.
Crazy Mazie. But we do have this honor flight coming up on Saturday. And once again, if you'd meet this flight back at 9:30, right, Ed?
We're on Southwest Airlines Flight 6293, due back in at 9:15. We'd love for folks to come down about 9:30 and greet the flight.
All right, let's go back to the hearings now. Mazie Hirono, crazy Mazie.
She's a very logical person.
Is questioning Judge Kavanaugh. Jeff, if you please. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, once again, you are listening live to the Kavanaugh hearing as it is happening right now in Washington, D.C. Ted Cruz has stepped up to question Kavanaugh right now. It's closing down. You have one more Democrat, Kamala Harris, after Ted Cruz, and then I believe it's John Kennedy will be the last of the Republicans, and this will be wrapped up, and then they're going to move on to see if the vote will be held tomorrow. I see no reason why it will not be held tomorrow. Both witnesses have made their case, and that works for Judge Kavanaugh.
But for clarity, Chris, when you say the vote is held tomorrow, but the vote for confirmation is Monday, isn't it?
Correct. That would be
tomorrow is the committee.
Yeah, tomorrow is the committee, and Monday is what we're all looking for.
Right, and he doesn't have to be voted out of committee. It can go straight to the floor for a floor vote. Now, they would prefer it to come out with the committee recommendation, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it will. By the questioning of these Republicans and the fiasco that this was turned into by the Democrats, and that the Republicans have spent the whole day in their own way, starting off with Mitchell in a low-key fashion and then much more passion during the Kavanaugh portion of it. They have shown that this was orchestrated, that this was plotted and planned by the Democrats, even to the detriment of their own witness, Ms. Ford. And she came off as a witness, a bit of a ditzy woman. But in a court of law, you would say, okay, she believes what she said. But it's not enough to convict a man, nor is it enough to keep him off the Supreme Court, especially when he came in very much more impassioned in his own defense. And then the Republicans have just lit into the Democrats and are given a lesson in political philosophy tonight, the kind that I really love, being a philosopher and political mad scientist. This is a lesson in civics, and the Republicans are putting it on the Democrats. Now, the Democrats this morning, the thinking was, oh, gosh, Kavanaugh's in trouble now. She's a credible witness. She looked really good. Even the Fox people, Judge Napolitano, all of them falling all over themselves, talking about how it was a catastrophe for the White House and for the Republicans. I hardly think it is turning out to be that at all. Judge Kavanaugh, really, it was all about him today, and he has delivered in a big way. Once again, Ted Cruz is currently
Chris, if you were the way...
Real quick, let me reintroduce everybody. Okay. All right, so that's Mike McBath. I'm Christopher Hart. Got Rick Brown in the studio. We also have our longtime friend Ed Reardon of Honor Flight in the studio. Got a flight going on this weekend. We're going to give you the details about that as well. Plus, I'll tell you about the format of the show as the hearing wraps up here in a few minutes. We also are pleasured to have the inaugural visit with us today by Mike Waddell, president of the Orlando Apollos Professional Football League. Team going to start playing here in the spring with the head ball coach. You can't call him the old ball coach. It's the head ball coach, Steve Spurrier, at the helm. That's going to be a lot of fun because I'm sure he's going to bring the fun and gun with him, right?
He's got a big new playbook that he's been sketching in for the last couple of years. He's been watching the Gators up there in his office at Steve Spurrier Field.
Yep. Yeah.
And I tell you, like I said earlier, we can't kick extra points. We got to go for two. You don't even have the opportunity to do an onside kick. You take it one play, 10 yards to go off your own 25. And so he could literally score, go for two, and then keep the ball, like make it, take it, and just beat the heck out of somebody and never give them the ball.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
And that's kind of guy right there. I mean, it's not our job to call off the dogs. It's their job to stop us.
So you guys are jazzing up the rules a little bit.
Absolutely, a little bit. Make it safer, though. That's what it's all about, and that's one thing that Mike can talk about that the NFLPA does, and Mike does a great job in leading, you know, what is going on with our former NFL players here in Orlando.
Yeah.
Is that you have to make sure safety is a big part of the game, and that's the goal of the Alliance of American Football, to have another opportunity for people to play football but also do it safely, and hopefully they can make their way back to the NFL or to the NFL and have a great career.
And this is going to be a real pro-America team, too. Right?
Absolutely. You know, the one thing that we were talking about, we said it a little bit earlier, we will encourage players to be active in their community and to take stock and be a part of it. I mean, they're going to live here in Orlando. They're going to be a part. They're going to make a difference every day, and they're going to be engaged. So we're excited about that, and we look forward to having everybody come out to Spectrum Stadium starting February 9th.
Okay.
Just one quick question.
Okay, go ahead.
I just want to know, are you going to have a Gator section?
We're going to have a Gator section. We're going to have a big Penn State section.
Whoa.
We're going to have a big Penn State section right there. But Gators, Seminoles, Knights, Owls, Rattlers, everybody. Even the Argos. I'm a big West Florida fan. They're a great team up there.
Best thing is, you can go ahead and get your tickets, which means if you get them now, you get the best selection, right?
You get the best selection. We're going to have a select a seat coming up later on in the fall, and you can go to OrlandoApollos.com and OrlandoApollos.com, and our navy blue and orange, it's in honor of not only the Greek god Apollo, the god of the sun, but also our space program. The Apollo space program will have its 50th anniversary here in 2019, the same time that we're making our launch, we'll look back to what Neil Armstrong did and really take, you know, that could be one of the greatest sites of American pride of any of our lifetimes.
What would be really cool is if on that day you would have somebody run out on the field and right there on the 50-yard line in the middle of everything, you plop down a flag that looks like the one they left on the
moon. Oh, yeah, with a guy dressed like an astronaut.
That's a good idea.
We and the one they left off the movie.
Right there you go.
That'd be great. That would be real good.
Okay, let me run down once again what we're going to do here tonight. We're going to actually go over a little bit. Dianne Feinstein is speaking right now at the hearing, and she's blowing off a little steam, it seems like.
I think she's a little upset, don't you, Chris?
Yeah, at the line of questioning from Ted Cruz to Judge Kavanaugh. Once again, after Cruz, it goes back to the Democrats for Kamala Harris. She will be the last Democrat to question Judge Kavanaugh. Then it goes back to the Republicans for John Kennedy, the senator from Louisiana, the old Southern boy. He will be the final questioner on the Republican side. So we're closing in on the end of the hearing. And then I presume they will decide tonight at some time whether to go forward with the hearing tomorrow. I do believe that they will, unless something really bizarre happens here before this is over, and it could. But when it is finally over, we're going to stay live on the air until 7:30. Okay, and kind of wrap up the whole day and, you know, go over, and if they're announcing that the committee is going to go ahead and decide on the hearing tomorrow, we'll let you know the results of that. So the show, The American Adversaries, will be here until 7:30 tonight live. And once again, it's all because of the Kavanaugh hearings and the fact that we are covering them. Before we go back to the hearings, and once again, there's now a little go back and forth going on between Ted Cruz and Dianne Feinstein. And in just a moment, we'll go back to it live and finish it up and then come back live for the rest of the night until 7:30. But once again, the honor flight this weekend is happening Saturday, as usual. Now, it's leaving early in the morning, but it's coming back at 9:30 at night, and we'd really love you folks to come out and help us welcome this flight home.
We got 50 hometown heroes, 12 of them World War II veterans, 19 from Vietnam, 19 from Korea and or the Cold War. You just don't get an assembly of heroes like that in one place at one time. It's a great family event. Come on down, bring your kids, bring some flags, bring some signs, take a little pride. Remember, our freedom isn't free, and thank these guys for assuring that we have the freedom and the liberties that we all enjoy today. Don't ever forget that.
And one of the cool things about it is, as they're getting off the plane, they think their day's over. They don't know that there's going to be a welcoming reception when they get into the terminal, do they?
We effort to give them the ticker tape parade they never got when they served, especially the guys from those three eras. If you were World War II or Korea, it wasn't unusual for you to serve. And when you came home, you were expected to hang up your uniform, resume your normal life, what you were doing prior to your service. Vietnam, even far worse. Not only did they not get their welcome home, many of them were spit on and called baby killers. It was shameful the way they were treated. I can understand the differences that we all had with that war, but that should not reflect how we treat those veterans. They serve for us. They serve to protect our freedom, to protect us from tyranny, and to preserve the liberties we enjoy, and we should honor them and respect them for that.
Absolutely.
How many flights a year do you take out of Central Florida?
We look to take a minimum of 100 veterans a year, and then we kind of back into the flight number. So this year we took two flights in the spring with 25 veterans each trip. That means 25 veterans accompanying them and staff and paramedics. This trip, 50 veterans, 50 guardians, a full staff along with our paramedics and so forth and so on, 112 total, a minimum of 100 every year. We've taken as many as I think I want to say on the high side, 350 one year. Since we started, we'll have 1,000 by the end of this year. Nationally, Honor Flight's taken 280,000 veterans since the organization started in 2005.
Very, very good.
And Mike, you were saying that your grandfather was in a bomber crew?
Well, actually, he was with the 25th Light Infantry. It's called Tropic Lightning. He was stationed out at Hickam Field at Pearl Harbor. He shipped out on December 1st, 1941, and went to Tuskegee. Spent some time there educating and teaching, and then moved on to a Pensacola and Panama City before going back up. But he was one of, you know, the Band of Brothers and different things like Saving Private Ryan, those types of movies that were so great, you know, honoring the greatest generation. One thing about my grandfather, he had seven brothers, and they all fought in World War II.
As I said, timing is everything in life. We're going to go back now live to the hearings. Kamala Harris questioning Judge Kavanaugh.
Next president.
Jeff, if you please.
As you know.
So you've not taken one.
Right.
Judge Kavanaugh, adjourned.
That's it.
All right, it's over, ladies and gentlemen. The Kavanaugh hearing just wrapped up with Judge Brett Kavanaugh swearing to God. The last question from Republican John Kennedy of Louisiana. Do you swear to God that what you've said is true? And he that's the way he started when he gave the oath this afternoon, and that's the way he finished. He swears to God. Once again, I think you can go down on the volume there, Jeff. Once again, we'll keep an eye on it, but it does look like they are finished all together for the evening. I thought they might stay and have a motion to from the Democrats either to postpone, because that's what they've been demanding all day, the hearing, I mean, the the vote tomorrow in the Judiciary Committee, and I thought maybe that they would take that up tonight.
I think they know it's lost.
I think they threw the towel in, don't you, Rick?
I don't think that they're going to do anything, so once again, we'll keep an eye on it. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to be here now live until 7:30. At the top of the hour, we are going to take a news break, and we're going to do our Sunday night intro. It'll be a short intro, and then we'll come back, and we'll take the show live until 7:30. So we're going to be here until 7:30 tonight, going over what happened today. Once again, I'm going to reintroduce everybody here in the studio. If you just happen to be tuning in, you are listening to the American Adversaries Radio Show. You have been listening to our show as we have been covering the network coverage of the Kavanaugh Ford hearings here live today. The Salem Network covered it. All the hosts cut away and covered the hearings live. And I think it was a smart thing to do because, as I said, this is a very important day in American history. And in terms of our politics, and the Republicans made the case, I do believe, very effectively this evening that what has been going on here is not what the American experience is supposed to be all about. And so let me go around the room and reintroduce everybody, and we will open up the phone lines. So you're listening to the American Adversaries coming to you live from the Relax and Comfort Studios. Got Mike McBath in the studio sporting some new apparel from the Orlando Apollos.
This is the Apollos.
Football
team. I'm a number one supporter.
Nice.
I'm so proud of the new team here in Orlando.
Yeah, tomorrow, I didn't even notice that.
I'm
going to be sporting
my
new t-shirt here shortly,
I know.
Too.
We'll be styling and profiling
That's
around
right.
the town.
Of course, that other voice belongs to Rick Brown. And he's in the studio. Normally, we would be doing our contest tonight, but we postponed that given the circumstances. We also have a longtime dear old friend, Ed Reardon, in the studio with us from the Honor Flight. We're going to tell you about an Honor Flight going on this weekend. By the way, Colonel Danny McKnight is going to call in on the show in the next half hour.
Outstanding.
And, of course, he is a big part of Honor Flight.
Not a real
hero. And he's going around the country right now visiting the grave sites of the six Rangers that were under his command in Somalia during the mission that has now become known as Black Hawk Down. He does this every 5 years. He visits their grave sites and the families that he knows of his fallen comrades and his soldiers. And he'll also be visiting the grave sites of other soldiers that had fallen that he knows. By the way, Donald Trump just tweeted out, Judge Kavanaugh showed America exactly why I nominated him.
I love it.
His testimony was powerful, honest, and riveting. Democrats search and destroy strategy. I didn't get to arrest him.
We got it.
You get the gist
of it. We got it.
And I do believe that this now will go to the floor tomorrow. Obviously, it will be voted out of committee to the floor tomorrow. I think then they have to wait 24 hours, and then they can actually begin the process of the Senate floor vote. If you were to take bets from me right now, my money's on Kavanaugh. All right. And we also have in the studio with us tonight, and he'll be back. And this wasn't a great night to bring him in, as it turned out. He wanted to help us judge our contest. But we are getting to know Mike Waddell, president of the Orlando Apollos professional football team. And he's a newcomer to Orlando, so we want to be nice to him and welcome him to town so that he doesn't want to leave this humidity and go back where he came from.
No, I love it down here. I'm a little chubby. I whipped anorexia a long time ago, so hopefully this will sweat some wet off me, and I'll be slim and mean and not too far in between like Brother McBath right here. He looks like he can go right now. You know, Mike was all world for the Florida Blazers.
That's exactly right. Thank you
yes,
for bringing
yes,
that up.
Yes, he was. He was all world. Not many people can be all world. Mr. World.
That's exactly what we, right.
You just call him that.
See, that's why we get along so well.
That's it. All right, so we're here live until 7:30, 407 774-8255 is the number. If you saw something in particular that particularly moved you in the hearings today or something, maybe change your mind somehow or just want to make some comments on it, please do give us a call. And in the meantime, once again, as I said, we have Ed Reardon, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in the next half hour. But once again, I want to remind you that this weekend, the Honor Flight is going to Washington, D.C. with how many? You said 50?
We have 50 veterans. It's our last flight this season. We only fly in the spring and the fall because it's too damn hot in the summer,
yep.
Too damn cold in the winter.
Yeah.
So we're really...
What an interesting weekend to be going to Washington, D.C., even for a day.
There's never a dull moment up in the Capitol, but we're really excited because, you know what, you put all the politics behind you when you get out on the National Mall at the Veterans Memorials or if you're at Arlington National Cemetery, the very last thing that you're thinking about is politics.
Can these fellows get around, though, when, you know, they get off the plane? Can they walk around, or are they restricted to...
I have two storage units full of 60 wheelchairs.
Really?
Right? Okay. And as long as they're good, as long as their doctor says their health is good enough for them to fly,
okay,
then we make everything else happen. So wow. We have special buses with elevators, or even for veterans that are restricted to wheelchairs. If they want to make the trip and the doctor says they can, we make it happen.
That's all right. Great. So it's going off Saturday. And if you want to get up early enough to see them off, that's fine. We'll give you the details on that. But primarily, we'd like you to come out and welcome them back. And the flight, if you get out to the airport at 9:30, it is Terminal A, and Southwest Airlines would be the airline. And right there where the Starbucks is at the Southwest desk is where everybody gathers. And you'll see people there in patriotic garb and with flags and things like that. And here's the cool part. The people, the veterans on the flight, don't know that this reception is going to be there waiting for them to culminate their day. They think when they leave Washington, basically the flight home and that's it, right?
The thing about our flights is we are full of surprises all day long. There are a lot of things that happen on the trip that we ask alumni never to discuss with other candidates that might want to go. That's one of the big surprises, though, is at that point, they're really exhausted. They're really tired. And to get a welcome home really is the highlight of the day.
Does Senator Bob Dole still show up when the honor flights are in town?
Amazingly enough, we saw Bob back in June. His health continues to decline. He is wheelchair-bound and looks like he might weigh a little less than 100 pounds these days.
Oof, wow.
But he's a World War II veteran himself.
Yep.
He loves to be out at the
Wounded in Italy.
Absolutely. Loves to be out at the World War II Memorial and talk to his comrades and pay them tribute. He's also a huge supporter of Honor Flight Network.
Yeah. And after the hearing today, we should actually, I do believe, feel patriotic. At the end of the day, this was far different than the confirmation hearings a few weeks ago. This was far more civil. They did it in an appropriate room. And by the way, This was at the behest of the accuser, and I thought it was pretty smart.
No people in the background screaming and yelling and trying to throw everybody off.
That's right. And the Democrats were actually far more civil than I thought they would be, and to their detriment, I do believe.
You know, Chris, but didn't you think the introduction speech by Kavanaugh was, I think it was one of the greatest speeches I've ever heard, particularly appropriate to that situation. I mean, I rank it number two right behind Trump's speech at the inauguration.
It is tantamount. People were saying he needs to do what Clarence Thomas did when Clarence Thomas came out with the high-tech lynching speech.
Mm-hmm.
And he did every bit that.
Yep.
I do believe that after his opening statement that it was over. That this showdown was over, that she, as credible as she might have been to a lot of people, and to a lot of people she was very credible, that he was every bit as credible. And in a case like this, that's not enough to send the guy home.
So how about the politicians?
And he was very adamant that he was not, he said he might lose this fight, but he was not going to quit.
How about Manchin and the politicians in the red states? How do you think they're going to vote?
It made it very tough for them today.
Oh, it made it real tough.
Very tough.
Oh.
Because both, as I said, there was a little something for everybody here today. The Democrats, mm-hmm, in a way, got what they wanted this morning with their witness. The Republicans certainly got what they wanted this afternoon with Judge Kavanaugh. And at the end of the day, this being a political event, regardless of the facts that did or didn't happen, it was at the beginning and the end. We told you this was all about politics, and that means that the Republicans won the day.
If you were a college student watching this, what would you have obtained out of this? Would you have obtained that the Republican Party is the type of party I'd want to be part of, or I would rather be a Democrat? I think it's clear and
well, if I was studying journalism, I'd probably go with the Democrats.
Oh,
but if I was studying philosophy or political science or anything of that nature where you're thinking higher thoughts, the Republicans ruled the day. They were the Titans. They were the Apollos.
The Apollos. He's here.
Because they were talking big philosophical things. They were talking big picture things, what our country is based on, the principles, the values that our country is based on type things, while the Democrats were over there, because you hit your phone, which really, while the Democrats were over there, FBI, FBI, we can't get the FBI in this. Yeah. If anything, I wish Kavanaugh would have said, why didn't he at some point say, pardon me, Senator, but they have investigated me six times? Do you know what they do when they do a background investigation? And by the way, do you know that this is the very type of thing that they look for?
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I said, the Republicans were making big philosophical arguments. The Democrats, as usual, were trying to make the emotional argument. The problem for them is Kavanaugh was such a compelling, genuine, emotional person himself. He, as a matter of fact, Clarence Thomas looked like a robot next to this guy.
Oh, yeah, compared to him. Mm-hmm. And having his wife sitting there right beside him was good. You know, a lot of people are watching her emotions as, you know, this comes down. And you just feel so empathetic toward these people.
It was hard for anybody to listen to his opening statement, especially the early part of it. And not be have some feeling
emotionally,
for him.
I know, moved on.
You know, you could have feeling for her, but you could have feeling for him too. And once again, at the end of the day, if it's simply a he said, she said, that's just not enough. And I've said repeatedly on this show, I'll say it again. And this is a lesson for all women or anybody out there who feels like they are a victim of a crime. You have to report it as soon as possible, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how embarrassing it is. Because if you don't do that, it's never going to be solved
properly. Your credibility fades with time.
With time, exactly. And
not only that, Chris, you put others at risk.
Indeed,
you do. When you hold something like that back and you don't report it, you put others at risk.
Indeed. And what you end up with is you having a whole lot of people hurt in the end and no real resolution. Rick, you were going to say something.
No.
Oh, okay. But the point is that at the end of the day, because this was a political event, the politics did not shift over today's events. It was all very riveting. It was all very compelling. At the end of the day, it was a great civics lesson, but it did not change the political dynamic. And if anybody was the big loser today, it was old Dianne Fink Feinstein.
Oh, yeah. She really looked bad.
Yep.
Very, very bad.
Yep. And as I said, this is a political thing, and politics oftentimes comes down to raw emotions, and we saw a lot of that today. And in fact, we saw more raw emotion, more tears from Judge Kavanaugh than from the accuser. Now, she talked all shakily and in her wee voice, but there was never not one single tear from her eye or anybody's eyes else in that room while she spoke the whole day. And
you know,
watched it.
I only caught the audio because I was in the car most of the day. She did not sound sincere when she came across. The cry sounded fake.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, my wife did a perfect imitation of her.
Oh, really?
And she just sounded like she was insincere and ingenuine the entire time she was testifying.
And as I said, there were no actual tears. But when Kavanaugh spoke, not only did he cry, but he had the whole doggone room teared up.
But did anybody with these women offer to do an FBI investigation on their background? No, in all seriousness, because if you take an oath, do you want us to do an FBI? Do you want us to really do this because you're going to the big house? I wonder if there'd be tears at that point.
Yeah, but as I said, this was a political event, but as far as the FBI goes, Republicans made the case quite effectively, as well as Kavanaugh, that all the FBI would have done was getting witness statements, because there's no evidence to collect. It would have only been witness statements, and they have those.
Well, the only purpose to drag the FBI into it, as we talked about before, is to delay.
And that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
I do believe they're going to vote him out of committee, and with the full recommendation by the Republicans, 11-10 vote, it will go to the floor of the Senate, and I do believe Kavanaugh is going to become the next Supreme Court justice. Once again, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to be back here live until 7:30, and then Larry Elder for the rest of the evening. But the American Adversaries Radio Show coming to you once again live. Right now.
He said he ain't going to take this anymore.
I know. Wouldn't that be great when he walks in his house, they're playing that music? We're not going to take it again.
What a day, ladies and gentlemen. What a day. Yeah, all right. You are, that's right, listening to the American Adversaries Radio Show. That's right. We're stepping on Larry Elder's toes, but he won't mind, I'm sure. We'll be here live until 7:30, and we're going to go commercial-free until 7:30. And so let me introduce to you who's in the studio. And if you don't ever listen to the American Adversaries, normally we're here live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer, Monday through Friday from 5 to 7. The great folks here at Salem Media Group, Pete Paquette, the station programming director, offered to allow us to go a little bit longer today because of the nature of the Kavanaugh hearings. We have covered those live tonight during our show. So we're going to be here live until 7:30, make some comments about the show. Once again, I'm going to introduce you to some folks in the studio. And a little bit later on, also Colonel Danny McKnight is going to call us. We are here live, though, until 7:30 from the Relax and Comfort Studios. 407-774-8255 is the number. I'm Christopher Hart, along with Rick Brown. We also have Ed Reardon of Honor Flight with us, and we're going to tell you about that again in a minute. Mike McBath is still in the studio, of course, and Mike Waddell, president of the Orlando Apollos Professional Football League team, and he's going to be with us as well, and of course, he's going to be back on the show a lot, I'm sure. And that little intro that we played, of course, is our Sunday night intro. I wanted as much time to talk, though, tonight as possible. As I said, we're going to go commercial-free. And that little intro with that, I'm not going to take it anymore. We're not going to take it anymore song really kind of fit the theme of Judge Kavanaugh's testimony today. I thought it was very powerful. We thought it was very powerful. Let's take JJ's phone call and see what she thinks about it. Hey, JJ, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, good guys. Yeah, I just wanted to say I wish they would have drilled down more on that FBI thing. Maybe say, what do you think they would have found if they didn't find the first five or six times?
Right.
I think being investigated once by the FBI would be pretty intensive.
But I want your overall impression. What'd you think of his?
Oh, I thought he did great. She did seem, I mean, I think something happened to her, but I kind of had thought this all along that I think it is a case of mistaken identity, or she dreamt this and she just really believes this happened, and it may have, but I don't think it was him.
Yeah. And, you know, as I said, Kavanaugh's 10-year-old girl, he said last night, said we should pray for the woman.
That was a tearjerker. I know, that was a tearjerker.
And I think she's absolutely right. I think she's absolutely right. I think this woman.
Well, it's a reflection on her parents.
It is indeed. But I think it's the absolute right approach for all of us. You know, we talk about praying on the show a lot, and I think I said last week, you know, this woman, we need to be praying for her. This is not healthy, what's going on here. You know, the Democrats and the Republicans pointed this out today, victimized her again by putting her through all of this, whether she was voluntarily or not. This is, her life's never going to be the same. Yeah, she may get a book deal. She may get on CNN and MSNBC a lot and a lot of pats on the back. But I guarantee you, this has ruined her family. Her whole family is now going to have to deal with this the rest of their lives. There's a huge price to be paid for what went on today. And this is what the Republicans pointed out this afternoon. And it was very powerful.
But the other thing, too,
they could have even pointed out that she could have gone to the Maryland police right away.
Yeah, she still can. She still can.
Yeah, there's no statute of limitations.
Yeah, here's the problem. What are they going to do? Where's the evidence?
Nothing. Right. We have no evidence.
It's like Graham said, she can't even say where and when it happened. This, once again, is why it's so important for anybody, a woman or a man or transy or whatever, that if you're violated in any way, you report it then so that the evidence can be collected and the perpetrator stopped. She's all so brave. Well, no, she was a coward for 36 years. 36 years she was a coward. And now she's brave? I don't think so. But she's also to be pitied and prayed for. She needs help.
But, you know, the problem is the Democrats are so filled with hate and rage that you really can't tell what's really true and what's not with this woman. Did she come forward on her own accord, or was she put up by her attorney who's already been linked to the Clinton organization?
She was coerced.
Of course she was.
She did seem impressionable. And maybe this was on purpose, but she seemed just so naive and gullible.
She didn't seem to have the emotional development that you would imagine from somebody holding a doctorate and being a professor at a major university.
In clinical psychology.
Right. You see this too, Chris. This just came across. Dozens of protesters were arrested outside the Supreme Court building on Thursday. In all, some 57 people were arrested and accused of taking part in an unlawful demonstration activities, charged with crowding, obstruction, and in accommodating Capitol Police.
And by the way, Senator Cornyn, one of the Republicans on the Judiciary Committee, has just stated to the media that the vote is still on for tomorrow, which means that he will be voted out of committee with full recommendation from the Republicans on the committee. It'll be 11-10 vote. But that's just it. Mm-hmm. The political dynamic was not changed. And this is a huge event. It may not seem like much, but it's huge because what this means is this smear tactic, all this did not work. It didn't work.
Now, hallelujah. This is an answer to prayer.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is. And as I said, President Trump tweeted out a little while ago, this is why he nominated this guy. He's going to go. And he will be on the Supreme Court. And believe me, the asterisks and all of this stuff beside his name faded a lot today.
You know, the Democrats
with his testimony.
They're lucky he's on the Supreme Court. I mean, all America is lucky we have a quality guy like this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The best.
And thank you, JJ, for your phone call tonight. Yeah. We really do appreciate you being out there. And so once
again,
you're welcome. And so once again, we are here live until 7:30. In just a few minutes, though, Mike and Mike are going to head up to the restaurant there. So I want Mike Waddell to one more time tell us how they can get folks can get tickets to the Orlando Apollos.
The Orlando Apollos, one of the original eight of the Alliance of American Football, eight teams. They all debut in the inaugural season, 2019, February 9th, 2019. It's 134 days from right now.
That's exciting, Mike.
You know what it's like to be counting down the days and saying
they're going
to
start going faster and faster.
I said that to we're up to 12 employees now. I have 21 by the end of the month, which is next week.
Bringing jobs to Orlando.
Day after tomorrow.
Economic impact.
But we'll be excited. We've sold four tickets here tonight.
Excellent.
Thank you. I mean, just incredible. Ed bought four tickets.
I was going to say,
here in the studio. And you can do that by going to Orlando Apollos.
That's a great venue. I can't wait to come up.
Yeah, we're at the Bouncy House, man. We're going to have a good time out there. We're going to have, you know, the other thing we're going to do, Chris, and this is something maybe you can help me with your listeners here on the American Adversaries. We're trying to cast the role of Apollo. You know, somebody that's large. Larger than life, you know, a body that can be baby oiled up and to look like he can take out that archer, that look, that pose, and the flaming arrow and go out.
He's
and
talking
I'm thinking,
about me.
I'm talking about Mr. All World. Mike McBathrow.
Right.
We might have to get him going right there. He can play the role of Apollo.
The rest of us could be
like Buzz Aldrin.
We all could have done without the vigil of McBath and baby oil.
Well, you know I get paid to say that.
I'm going to be skipping dinner tonight.
Oh, my God. The martinis out.
There we go.
All right, real quick, Keith, hold on. I'll get to you in a minute.
That's funny.
Where can people get these tickets?
Chris, you can get them at OrlandoApollos.com for $50, only $50. You can reserve up to four seats. And then later on this fall, we're going to have a select-a-seat program up at the Bouncy House Spectrum Stadium on the campus of UCF.
You mean where you actually go out and pick where you want to sit?
You can pick where you want to go sit. It can do that. We're also going to unveil our uniforms here in the fall and have a big announcement about some of our premier players that have yet to be designated to us. All of our players, that's one of the fun things about this league, is that the players are all former Gators and Seminoles and Canes and Knights and Owls and Wildcats and Argos and
that's
Rattlers
right.
and all this
attendance.
Kind of stuff. Yep. It is. And Hatters, because Stetson, you know, has a team now as well. But and then we also get players from the Bucks, Dolphins, right. Jets, Giants, and the Hamilton Tiger Cats out of the Canadian Football League, where it's not 102 degrees today.
Yeah, not up in Hamilton.
I bet you when you get that team put together.
But OrlandoApollos.com is where you go.
Okay. All right. So that's OrlandoApollos.com. Mike's going to be back on the show a lot. But
one last question.
Don't forget,
how big is your roster?
The roster will be 50 players, so it'll be an additional 400 jobs for people who play college football, pro football, whatever. 72,000 72,000 is the number of people who play college football every year, but only 2,600 get the opportunity to do like Mike and play in the NFL.
All right. Well, once again, Mike, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you, Chris.
You've been a good sport, no pun intended, given the fact that we were spending so much time on the Kavanaugh hearings. I got
M&Ms, and I got to sit next to you guys. This has been a lot of fun right
You're
here.
You're not going to be happy with the M&Ms later.
Okay. All right. So I want to go back to the phone lines right now. We got Keith on the line, and then as soon as we take Keith's phone call, we're going to go to Colonel Danny McKnight, and we'll close out the show with him on the line with us as long as he has time to be with us. So let's go now to Keith on the line. Keith, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate your being out there.
Hey, guys, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I was wanted to say, I think Donald Trump is probably one of the toughest people I've ever met. You know, his tenacity and his willing to go the distance for this country. But I think Brent Kavanaugh is a close second. You know, what he went through, what he's going through, and he didn't cave. I think this culture kind of goes back to Trump now. You know, how the British's heart grew. I think the Republicans' backbone grew just a little bit. I'm not saying they have a full backbone yet, but I'm kind of glad to see that they didn't cave.
Well, I think that they found themselves in a way today. With this whole charade and with Kavanaugh's powerful performance of his own, he kind of helped them find their way. And when they started making these big philosophical statements, you know, and showing the passion and emotion of their own, Lindsey Graham especially, it changed the whole dynamic of this thing. And it made Donald Trump look like a big, strong man himself. But you're right, Kavanaugh looked very strong. And by the way, I'll let you finish your point. But his wife also looked very strong and supportive.
She sure did.
And I think that is going to make a big impact on a lot of women. Go ahead.
No, I'm just so proud of the Trump train. This country was nearing a cliff, and I didn't think we were going to turn it around, but. I just think Trump is exactly what we needed.
And I know this may sound bizarre, and in retrospect, I probably wouldn't have said this going in, but I'll say this going out. The country, I do believe, needed today. They needed today to see the contrast between where we were heading and what we're supposed to be. And the Democrats were taking us where we're heading, down this bad road, lined with nothing but hatred and putrid thoughts and things like that. And the Republicans are up there forced to have to defend why the country is what it is, because we are a nation of exceptional laws and constitution. And so
Absolutely.
At the end
well,
of the day,
the truth, guys.
All right. Thank you for being out there.
Yes, sir.
All right. And now I do want to go to Colonel Danny McKnight, who's on a long odyssey trip of his own, visiting the grave sites of his beloved fallen soldiers. Colonel, once again, thanks for being with us, and thanks for taking the time out of your journey to spend with us tonight.
Well, I'm glad we could do it, Chris, because we got off the plane here in Atlanta about 20 minutes ago, got to the car, and we thought we'd give it a shot, and then we did get to talk to you guys. That's great. Hey, I'm glad we listened just now to what y'all said about Kavanaugh, and we were in the airport there up in D.C., and everybody was standing and listening, and I thought Kavanaugh was awesome. So I'm glad I've heard what y'all have already said, but I'll hear that later again with you guys. But anyway, we are in Atlanta. We have one more to go, and we'll be down at Fort Benning tomorrow, and that's where we will visit Jamie Smith's gravesite. And I will tell you that since I did talk to you, it's been a really, really challenging time. We got into Boston to go to Cabacos, which I told you about, and I don't think I've been rained on that hard, and then we traffic was unbelievable. But we got down, you know, close enough. We went to Sergeant Pila's family's house yesterday, had a little time with them, went and saw his grave site, and also the memorial that they have in a park of him. So we did that, and then today was one of those really great days of being at Arlington National Cemetery. Mm-hmm. And in 2 hours that we were there, we visited Casey Joyce and Richard Kowalewski and seven others that I felt strongly about, that they weren't with me over there at that time. But we did it all in 2 hours and then headed back to D.C. to the airport.
Well, it has been quite a journey. Once again, you do this every 5 years. When you spent time with the family of
Sergeant Pila.
Sergeant Pila, yes. I know you have struck up a friendship with them. How are they doing?
Health problem.
Yeah, their health isn't great for either one of them, in all honesty. But they, when we wanted to go to the cemetery, you know, we told them we'd go on. And Ben put his little shoulder thing on with his oxygen because he has to struggle with that a little bit and everything. But they went right there with us, and we spent time, you know, visiting those grave sites and putting those black rocks that I wrote on right there. They'll last for a while. And I have to tell you about the one with Rehoboth, with Corporal Cavaco's place. It was so hard to get to because of the rain and everything like that. So there in Taunton, which is a city just outside of Rehoboth, I saw a police officer sitting there, and I just needed a little guidance and walked over to him. And I said, would you mind if I get a little help on where to go here to in Rehoboth? And he looked at me and he said, well, sir, I'll do anything for you. I was there when you spoke about 5 years ago.
Oh, that's nice.
Awesome. Awesome.
And he took us all the way out there to the grave site. He drove all the way in front of us out there.
How nice.
So, you know, there's great people that do great things for our country. And to see something like that, what he did, that was awesome. But we've got a great trip. We're about to finish up. And I know y'all won't be available tomorrow, but I might give you a buzz on Sunday.
All right. Well, listen, now tomorrow you're going to visit the gravesite of Corporal Jamie Smith, and that's going to be in Columbus?
Yeah, that'll be number 6 there at Fort Benning.
Okay, right.
And we have the Ranger Formal tomorrow night, right. And then this nut called me is going to do the Mogadishu Mile. That's actually 3 miles when they run it. I'll be doing that with them on Saturday, and hopefully I'll be able to get home then, Chris.
All right. Well, listen, I got Ed Reardon in the studio. I wanted you guys to touch base a little bit. Of course, Ed Reardon is Honor Flight Central Florida, and you're Honor Flight Space Coast. And I know you guys know each other, right, Ed?
I had the opportunity to meet Colonel McKnight a couple of times. That's a wonderful and a heartwarming thing that you're doing, and what a great way to pay a tribute and honor to those that you've lost.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Look forward to seeing you again, Ed. And, Chris, I'll tell you this, though. This would be impossible without Linda.
It's been tough this time, huh?
Yeah. But it'd be impossible to do this if I had to do this by myself, you know? Yeah. So 5 years from now, we'll probably have somebody pushing a wheelchair for both of us.
Well, I volunteer, Colonel. I volunteer. All right.
Hey, Linda wants Mike McBeth to push for her, I can tell you that.
We'll leave the baby oil out.
Yeah, that's right. All right, well, listen.
All right, Chris.
You guys travel safely. God bless you, Colonel. And our love and our thoughts and prayers are with you.
Godspeed, Colonel.
All right. You too, guys. Take care. God bless.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Colonel. Once again, that's Colonel McKnight. Once again, folks, if you're just tuning in and expected to hear maybe Rays baseball, they played earlier today. That was all preempted, though. All programming today was preempted by the Kavanaugh hearings. That's why we're here late. The great folks at Salem Media, Pete Paquette, programming director here, has offered to allow us to stay until 7:30 and do some stuff we wanted to do on our show, like visit this now with Colonel McKnight, and more importantly, to go over some of the last details of the day with this Kavanaugh hearing. And before we get off the subject, though, one more time, the Honor Flight Saturday is leaving from OIA at about 5 o'clock in the morning.
We're at 0:30. We board at 6:30 for a 7 a.m. departure and return 7 p.m. out of BWI, arriving into Orlando at 9:15. We're on Southwest Flight 6293. We'd encourage folks to come on down and be in the Terminal A by the Starbucks by about 9:30. Take us a little while to get our wheelchairs out of the belly of the airplane and get our veterans all lined up. We'd love for you to give them the welcome home they never got when they completed their service. And I know all the patriots that listen to this radio station agree with that that's an important thing to do. Couldn't think of a better way to spend a Saturday night. Come on down. show them the respect and the welcome home that they deserve.
And now, if you want to be involved in Honor Flight, of course, they always need donations because there is no charge to the veterans for this. They do it absolutely free for the veterans. And so they need donations. If you would like to be a guardian and go with a veteran and be the guardian's the veteran's guardian for the day, they're looking for that. Also, if you know a veteran who has not had an Honor Flight, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, please contact Honor Flight, and if you'd like to volunteer, you can do that too. And they can do all of that. It's at
HonorFlightCentralFlorida.org.
HonorFlightCentralFlorida.org.
Or you can go on our Facebook, Honor Flight Central Florida Hub.
And once again, we'd love for you to come out tomorrow night. OIA.
Saturday night.
I'm sorry.
Saturday night.
I keep thinking
today.
Duh, blah, blah, blah. That's all, folks. Saturday night, 9:30, OIA, Terminal A, Southwest Desk, right there by the Starbucks.
That's right. 6293 is the flight number. I highly recommend, since we're supposed to depart PWI at 7 o'clock, sometime after 7, you check online with Southwest to make sure our flight is due to arrive on time.
You know, and if you haven't done it before, don't be shy, because you'll be with 200 or 300 of your most closest friends, and it truly is an honor for these guys. But I can guarantee you, as much of an honor it is for these folks to get off the airplane and see all of you welcoming and thanking them for your service, you will leave there a changed human being as well.
Yeah. It is a wonderful thing to take a part of. It is going to make you feel so very good. And if you think you're a patriot now, you come on down and pay these guys the tribute, ladies and gentlemen, the tribute that they deserved, and you will truly feel like a patriot and remember the cost of our freedom and what they paid.
Yeah, and I don't know, but the thought has come to me tonight, and I've never said this before, but I'll say it tonight. You know, when you mentioned a while ago that, you know, when Vietnam veterans came home, they didn't get the proper welcome home. And I don't know, there may be somebody out there tonight listening who didn't welcome these folks home in the proper way and maybe feels bad about that.
Mm-hmm.
This would be a way to make up for that. And you don't have to tell anybody. Just come out and be there tomorrow. And I you will find it to be a cleansing experience for you, to right a wrong. And I don't know that there's anybody out there like this, but there may very well be. Because so many of us, you know, we change over time. And our thoughts and our you know, passions change over time. And so there might be somebody out there that was rude to a veteran who came back and regrets it. This is a way to make it right.
There was a time when because the war was unpopular, our Vietnam heroes in particular were treated very, very poorly.
Right.
But we shouldn't mix those matters, because they served on behalf of all of us.
Yeah.
And that requires a kind of moral courage and conviction that very few have.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And because they did it for us, although we may not know them all, we do owe them all.
Yeah.
So I'll leave Chris with one final thought, and that's a quote by Will Rogers. It's our motto at Honor Flight Central Florida. We can't all be heroes. Someone has to stand on the curb and clap when they go by.
All right. And you can be one of those people Saturday evening, 9:30. That's flight 6293, Southwest Airlines, Terminal A, right there by the Starbucks. And you can check ahead of time, 6293, see if the flight is on schedule. It's important that you get involved in that. By the way, the Traveling Vietnam Memorial Wall is coming to Apopka Kitland mm-hmm. Park. It will be opening the night of November the 7th, the day after the election, actually.
That's exactly right.
And we'll be there to do a live remote broadcast. We'll do our election night wrap-up coverage, and we'll be here doing election night stuff. But
4 short days before Veterans Day.
Exactly. And we'll be there doing a live remote, and I just wanted to put that out there. Of course, we'll talk more about that later.
And, Ed, you're speaking on Veterans Day.
I'll be speaking on Saturday, November 10th, is the Veterans Day event, yes. Seminole County,
yep.
Up at the Veterans Park, right up on the lake. What a beautiful sight.
And you're the keynote.
And I am so pleased and honored to be the keynote speaker at that event.
All right. Okay, and just a couple of 3 minutes here. Maybe, Jeff, you can give me a clock for these last couple of minutes so I know where we're at here. I don't have a clock right now. The last couple of 3 minutes here, just want to sort of wrap up. Once again, Larry Elder is going to come to you after the 7:30 break. But we have been monitoring the hearings all day. At the end of the day, I do believe that Brett Kavanaugh made the case that he is the man for the court, that he, at the end of the day, I think you could say both witnesses adamantly believe everything they said today. Do you think that?
I don't.
You don't think the woman or...
I don't think she.
Okay. I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. But I also believe, and I'm not saying that she's right, I just say that she believes it, okay? But I also believe that Kavanaugh's just as adamant. Mm-hmm. And in a political sense, that's all he had to do. But in a more human sense, he went way beyond that. He looked like an innocent man whose life has just been crushed by false accusations. And he responded in that fashion.
For somebody that was portrayed as evil, he truly humanized himself.
He did indeed. And he did it in a fine fashion, and he did it in the fashion that if you were an innocent person and you were put in that predicament, I do believe that that's how you would have felt like responding. And that was enough to assuage any of, I think, the weak-kneed Republicans who might have been, getting a little wispy out there. I do believe that this hardened their spines, that the Republicans, in a way, found their way tonight. They found their way because of all of this.
Yep.
And in that sense, at the end of the day, if it had to be done, I do believe that it's going to end up being a positive effect. Judge Kavanaugh will be voted on tomorrow in the committee as it is to stands now. I do believe he will be voted out of the committee 11-10 with the recommendation for approval. He'll go to the floor of the Senate. And by the first of the week, I do believe he'll be on the court.
Yep.
And I also think that the other members of the court are going to embrace him. All eight of them. All eight of them will embrace him. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's Ruth Bader Ginsburg that embraces him the most.
I don't know how many people could stand up to the judgment that he did.
Yeah.
No.
And in hearing his recitation of his history and so forth,
yep.
The guy's a Boy Scout.
This was a Donald Trump moment.
And he's a brilliant He's a brilliant jurist. At the end of the day, today was a good day for America.
Amen.
All right. We're going to leave you now. Night, everybody.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.